to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hey everybody, this is A. Gregory Luna. You can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing really well on this nice July day. We're down here in Texas. It is hot, 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 like The Cure's old song. Before we begin with the review of some flowers that you might want to use, let's get down to business. You can find all these articles, recipes, biohacks and whatnot, and all the podcasts in the event that you don't have a phone that allows you to listen to podcasts. You can find them all at naturopathicearth.com, which is N-A-T-U-R-O-P-A-T-H-I-C, earth.com, one word, no hyphenation. You can find them over there. And you can find me on Facebook at A. Gregory Luna. Please friend me. I'd like to talk to people. In honor of Game of Thrones starting in a couple of days, I posted a question of which Game of Thrones character do you most relate to? So if you guys want to post a comment there, I put Tyrion because Tyrion Lannister, of course, is the dwarf and everyone discounted him and threw him and discarded him as being a nothing when he was born. And of course, his father hated him. And then look at him now. He's the most sagacious person in the kingdom and he has the best lines, but he's a survivor and a fighter. So I always liked Tyrion because it just reminded me of my obesity when I was younger, when I was discarded as well. So friend me there. I'm at Naturopath Earth on Twitter. I'm at naturopathic_earth at Instagram. Also, please listen to Kate McCall's Naturopathic Essentials podcast. She just released her third episode, her second real one in earnest, if you don't count the Q&A that we recorded. And this one's on the zest of lemon essential oil. So if you want to know the various ways to use lemon essential oil, listen to her podcast. As I mentioned, she has her own stream now. So on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this, just search Naturopathic Essentials and you will see the face of Kate McCall. And you can listen to her there and please post a review because that would mean a lot to her. I've listened to her podcast and I love them. I think she honestly is a better podcaster than I am. She's got a great voice and her podcast episodes are much more... I think they're engaging, but they're much more structured. You know, she is very prepared, whereas I just kind of go by, I just kind of fly off the cuff. But that's just the difference in our personalities. Also, I just want to announce the winner of the last essential oil blend. It's Jill. Kate mentioned it on the Lemon Essential Oil podcast, but Jill won this second raffle. And she forgot to mention the runner-up. The runner-up is Stephanie. So if for whatever reason Jill does not claim her prize, Stephanie is the runner-up. And the rest of you will get back into the pool, and then we'll pull another raffle probably in about a month. We like to do one every month or so. All right, so now that we've talked about business, let's talk about flower, non-flower alternatives. I like doing these reviews. I know they're pretty popular because I know people just want to know, boom, 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 which are the best ones. Give me the grade. Tell me what you think is the best. And then, of course, you can decide on your own if what I'm telling you is the truth. But I thought it was important to write an article. And as I mentioned, the only podcast that I've done where I haven't gleaned it off my own articles that I've written on the website is the one on antibiotics causing us to be fat. So if you miss any of what I'm about to say, just go to the website and search on the top for non-wheat flour alternatives, and you can see the grades that I'm giving them. But I thought it was important to do one on flour because flour is as ubiquitous as oxygen, pretty much, in the standard American diet. You are hard-pressed to avoid foods that don't have wheat or wheat flour. Of course, if you eat a true paleo diet, you really don't have to worry about that. But most of us are eating some bread, crackers, pastries, pasta, couscous. I mean, they all have flour. So we are getting flour on a certain level. Now, in the last 10 years or so, we have seen a proliferation of non-wheat flour alternatives, which is great. And it's kind of analogous and contemporaneous to the non-dairy milk alternatives that have sprouted up in the last few years too. So it's great to see that we have non-wheat flour alternatives. Now, the main reason why people want non-wheat flour alternatives is because there are anti-nutrients in wheat, and the most famous being gluten. And you've heard about gluten. Oh, this is gluten-free. That's gluten-free. Gluten is inflammatory to the body. Even if you don't have celiac disease, which is the autoimmune disease, where you eat something that does have gluten, it causes the body to essentially attack the microvilli in your small intestines. A lot of studies are showing that about 70% of Americans have some sort of sensitivity to gluten, which is then causing either the microbiome to be distorted or disrupted or brain fog or some sort of autoimmune response or allergy response or food allergy response. And so it might behoove us to perhaps try a week or two of not eating any wheat at all, and then seeing if any of the side effects that you have go away. And a lot of us function day in, day out, think that we don't have any side effects, but we really wouldn't notice it until we get off of whatever food allergy we have. And then like, oh my God, I feel so much better. And so this is one of the reasons you should do an elimination diet, which I think I mentioned in NPE 6. So if you want for more information on that, go back to that one. The other reason why wheat flour is not the best is because it's been stripped out of most of its nutrients. A lot of the nutrients in wheat is in the germen and the bran, and that's where you get the complex carbs and the fibers. And so when you process that stuff out and you mill it down to flour, all that really remains is high calorie nutrient sparse powder that's great for baking, but not so ideal for your health. So that's the main reason. So I don't want us to deprive ourselves of ever eating things that are made of flour, like pancakes and biscuits and cookies and pastries and all the things that I just previously mentioned, because I'm not a big proponent of that. I am a primal health coach, and in primal paleo world, you're supposed to eschew grains, in particular wheat, but I just don't believe in the complete prohibition of foods. I don't think that's a way to live life. We all need to eat our pancakes and breads on occasion. So I think that you can eat them sparingly, but this is more for just any of you who are interested in maybe trying a non-wheat flour and seeing what the difference are and how they taste and what's the nutrient profile difference. Okay. So before we begin, let's look at the typical nutritional information of regular all-purpose wheat flour. The typical serving size is going to be 1/4 cup, 110 calories, no fat, 22 grams of carbs, that's a lot, for 1/4 cup, 1 gram of which is fiber, none of it's sugar, and 4 grams of protein. So the big thing that you pull away from this is that it's very nutrient lean, and it has a lot of carbs, 22 grams of carbs. It has 4 grams of protein, which is not that bad. But you'd get a little more if you actually ate the bran of it instead of it being milled out. So let's go over some non-wheat alternatives. Let's do the 7 that are, I wouldn't say they're the most common, but these are the ones that you can readily find. All these are going to be gluten-free. So they're all coming from non-rye, non-wheat, non-barley alternatives. All these, of course, you could find at your local grocery store, if not on Amazon. So let's start with coconut flour. Coconut flour, the serving size is 1/4 cup, just like regular flour, 150 calories, which is a little more than regular flour, 5 grams of fat, so a lot more fat than regular flour, 5 grams of which is saturated, so it's all saturated fat, 21 grams of carbs, so it's about the same, but 13 of which is fiber, as opposed to regular flour, which is only 1 gram. This is 13 that is fiber, 2 is sugar, and 6 are protein. So right off the bat, you notice that the calories are a little higher, but we're really not too worried about calories, guys. Counting calories, weighing yourself daily, that's the old paradigm. You need to get off of that. You really do. The ultimate indicator, litmus test of whether or not you're healthy is looking at your waistline and seeing how you feel. Both of those two are a better indicator. So right off the top of the bat, you see that it's got a lot more. It's got 2 more grams of fiber. I'm sorry, 2 more grams of protein, but it's got 12 more grams of fiber and a lot more fat. So that in itself is a great indicator. Now, coconut flour comes from the dried flesh of coconuts. Most of the fat's been removed, explaining why it has not that much fat compared to, let's say, coconut milk or coconut water. And it is a great prebiotic food. If you don't know what prebiotics are, I do mention in Naturopathic number 2. There's a whole episode on prebiotics, but it's the food that feeds your probiotic bacteria. So it is a great source of prebiotics. The disadvantages of coconut flour, it's kind of dry and fibrous. And if you're not a big fan of coconut smell, coconut flavor, you might not like it. It is pretty dry, so you do want to use about half the amount you would for a regular flour recipe. So if a regular flour recipe asks for a cup of flour, I'd probably use a third of a cup or a half of a cup of coconut flour and then mix in the eggs. It also gives you a better reason to add more eggs, which are much more healthier than flour, especially wheat flour. But overall, for a non-wheat flour alternative, it's very good. I'd give it an A-. The next one we're going to go to is green banana flour. Green banana flour does not come from green bananas. It comes from unripened bananas. But the serving size is the same, a quarter of a cup. It's 100 calories, so less on the calories a little. 50 calories per serving. It's got no fat, so very different than coconut, which has 5, and closer to regular flour, which has 0. 25 grams of carbs, 2 of which are fiber, so much less on the fiber compared to the coconut oil, but it's more similar to regular flour. 1 gram of sugar and 1 gram of protein. So we've talked about on ad nauseum why unripened green bananas are so good for you. They're probably the cheapest prebiotic food on the planet. They are kind of hard to rip off the skin, but if you can overcome that and it's kind of bland taste, it is very good for you. Now the flour part of it, green banana flour does taste really good. At least I think it is. And it is dry and it's similar to coconut flour. So again, use about a half to three quarters the amount on green banana flour that you would on regular flour because it is dry and it soaks up a lot of fluid. So again, more eggs. But I would say as a whole, the takeaways are that it's not that high in fiber and we always want to be getting fiber. And if you can get fiber from a flour, that's even better because most flours don't have anything. So 2 grams of fiber is not that great. It is very high in carbs with 25. It doesn't have any fat and it doesn't have any protein. And for that reason, I give it a C. Now, if you want to use it as a supplement, like in smoothies, to get a little prebiotic resistant starch in your smoothie or yogurt bowl or whatever shake that you're making, then I give it an A-. If you're just going to put like a teaspoon in of it, then it's not that bad. It gives a great taste. And again, you're going to get that prebiotic resistant starch. And you're probably getting more of it in the green banana flour than you are in the coconut flour. Even though coconut flour is a good source of it. Okay, but as a whole, between those two, coconut flour is going to win out. Coconut flour is going to win out. Almond flour, number 3. Almond flour, a quarter of a cup, so regular serving like the other ones, 160 calories, so it's about the same as coconut flour, a little lower than regular flour. 14 grams of fat, mucho fat, that's good. I don't have a problem with that. One of which is saturated, so right there you know you're getting a lot of unsaturated fat, so MUFAs, preferably MUFAs, or monounsaturated and not PUFAs. 6 grams of carbs, which is great, it's very low, compared to coconut flour. And green banana flour, 6 grams of carbs is very low. 3 of which is fiber, which is great. 3 is not too bad, especially if you're only getting 6 grams of overall carbs. 1 of which is sugar. 6 grams of protein. So right off the bat, almond flour is not too bad. Not too bad at all. Now, ideally, if you can make your own, like you can with your own almond milk, that's even better because you can control the ingredients that you're using. But as a whole, unlike the non-dairy milk alternatives who put in a lot of additives, most of these flours are just straight out whatever they are. They have 1 ingredient, maybe 2 ingredients. So almond flour, similar to almond milk, was kind of considered the gold standard of the non-fill-in-the-blank alternatives. It's been around for quite some time. It was the first one in the clean eating world to kind of gain traction. And it's very high in polyphenols because it's coming from almonds, and almonds are great for you, especially if they're not roasted in vegetable oils. And especially if you soak them. And it's a good source of prebiotics, manganese, magnesium, vitamin E, and the copper. It's very high in MUFA fats and moderately high in PUFAs. PUFAs are really only problematic when they're oxidizing or deteriorating in heat or light. That's why like olive oil and your vegetable oils, if you have any, need to be in dark places. And you don't want to overheat them when you're cooking them. They do oxidize a bit when you pulverize them to turn them into the flour, but I mean, as a whole, it's not bad. I think one of the main reasons some people don't like almond flour is that it's kind of nutty in taste. It is a little high in calories, but aside from that, it is the gold standard of non-wheat flour alternatives. given that it has a lot of fat and it's very low in carbs and it has a decent amount of protein. So if you can overcome the kind of nutty taste, it should be a mainstay in your pantry, and I would give it an A minus, similar to coconut oil. All right, cassava flour, number four, cassava flour. Cassava is otherwise known as the yuca. It's a tuberous root indigenous to South America where it's commonly grounded into flour. Cassava is very popular in South America. You find a lot of cassava items or things that come from cassava or yuca. And here it's not as common, though you can get those chips from Terra. Terra makes a kind of chips that are a lot of the tuberous kind of chips. So it's got cassava in it, along with some of the other ones, sweet potatoes too. The good news is that studies show that ingesting a lot of cassava lowers your blood glucose level naturally, similar to cinnamon and dark chocolate and other things like that. And it's a great resistant starch prebiotic source like the rest of them. The bad news, it's not that nutrient dense. So if we look at the nutrient profile, the serving size is a quarter of a cup, 110 calories, which is standard, but no fat, 22 grams of carbs, two of which are fiber, and then no sugar, no protein. So it's very similar to green banana flour in that it's high in carbs and doesn't offer a lot of nutrition. And for that reason, especially since you're not really getting the fiber out of it because you've grounded it up to get the flour, there's better choices. And so for that, I give it a D plus. I give it a D plus. All right, number five is going to be hazelnut flour. Hazelnut flour. This is a little harder to find. The serving size is a quarter of a cup, 180 calories, a little higher, not surprisingly because it is a nut. 17 grams of fat, which is high, similar to the almond flour. 1 gram of which is saturated, so again, a lot of MUFAs and PUFAs. 5 grams of carbs, low in carbs, 3 of which are fiber, 1 of which is sugar, 4 grams of protein. So hazelnut flour is very similar to almond flour, which is to be expected. And hazelnut flour is not that popular here in the States, but in Europe and Latin America, it's much more popular. And it should be getting more love over here because hazelnut flour is high in manganese and magnesium and vitamin E. And it's got tons of the heart healthy unsaturated fats, and it's a great prebiotic source. Also, independent studies show that hazelnut flour lowers your LDL or bad cholesterol, which leads to plaque buildup, and improves your overall cardiovascular health. Side effects are negative to it. It's a kind of a nutty flavor, and as similar to almond flour, it oxidizes pretty quickly when you heat it. But it's a great source, and I would give it a B. It's a B. It's up there with the almond flour and the coconut flour. All right. So the last couple here we're going to do are more supplemental ones. Supplemental ones. So potato flour. Potato flour is more of a supplemental one. And you can tell this when you look at the serving size. Unlike the other ones, which were a quarter of a cup or approximately 40 grams per serving. Potato flour serving size is 3 tablespoons. 3 tablespoons, which is still roughly about the serving size of a typical cup or quarter of a cup serving of the other flours. Okay, it's 12 calories, which is very small. 0.5 grams of fat, but 27 grams of carbs. 27, which is not surprising because the potato is very carb heavy and very starchy. 2 grams of fiber. So 2 of the 27 are fiber, 0 grams of sugar, 3 grams of protein. So this is similar to cassava and green banana. It's that it's not high in nutrition, but it's a good prebiotic source, and it's more of a supplemental to the more superior coconut, almond, and hazelnut flours. A lot of people like them because potato flour kind of brings a certain consistency to some of your recipes. Like if you're making a gravy, for example, you need to use potato flour or potato starch to make it taste better. But as a standalone flour, it's not that great because it's almost all carbs. So I give it a D plus. As a supplement to another flour, like if you want to put a tablespoon in, I only give it an average C because, again, it's not too nutritionally dense. The last one we're going to talk about today is coffee flour. Now, coffee flour is kind of unknown, and it's very hard to find coffee flour. I know down here in Texas, it's hard to find it at the Monopoly grocery store that is called HEB. They don't sell it. The only place I know that sells it at an actual store is Trader Joe's. Now, let's look at coffee flour. The serving size is 1 tablespoon, so 10 grams. So again, it's about a quarter of the typical serving size of the other flour. So you can tell right there that it's really not meant to be a baking, sole baking alternative. It's a supplement. But what tablespoon? One tablespoon has 35 calories, zero fat, 7 grams of carbs, which is nice and small. I mean, if you multiply that by 4, it'd be 28, so that's pretty high. But again, coffee flour is not meant to be a cooking mainstay. But check this out. 7 grams of carbs, 6 of which are fiber. 6. 0 grams of sugar, 1 gram of protein. So in one tablespoon of coffee flour, you're getting 6 grams of fiber, which is roughly a quarter of your daily recommended serving of fiber. So it's great. It's great. Most of the time, coffee flour is made up from grounded up coffee beans, but sometimes you get it from the pod that the Arabica bean comes in. It really depends on where you're getting it from. So I'm sorry, it doesn't come up from ground up coffee beans. It comes from the pulp of the pod. Pulp of the pod. Sorry about that. Coffee flour is very high in phytonutrients and antioxidants and potassium and fiber, and it has no sugar. It's great. The problem with it, though, is that it does have a pretty strong taste. So if you're not a lover of the coffee, you probably won't like it because it's going to make your food kind of give a coffee smell. Now, a lot of people love the smell of coffee, right? You walk into a cafe and you're like, oh God, it smells good. I'm at home. I'm going to sit here on the computer for 4 hours. But just see coffee flour more as one of those supplements along with green banana flour to give whatever food you're using it in a little zing to it. It's great to add to smoothies because, again, it's similar to chia seeds on one level in that it's so high in fiber. Now, chia seeds, though, or even flax seeds are going to give you a lot more fat. There's no fat in this coffee flour, but give it a shot. It's a good supplement. It's a good supplement. So overall, I give it an A as a supplement. As an actual overall cooking flour, I give it a C, C minus, because it's really pretty, it's pretty nutrient lacking as a whole. As a whole, it is. All right, so as a whole, what I would do is this. Purchase almond and coconut flour and hazelnut flour if you have it, and try the big three. These are the big three. Now, if you go to a grocery store, you can find rice flour, for example. You can find oat flour. There's a lot of flours. You know, Bob's Red Mill sells a lot of varieties of flour. But these are really the two biggies. I think that most people are familiar with their almond and coconut flour. So buy both of them. Try them out and see which one you like better. Pick one of those as the one you're going to go to because they're both very good. And then have a supplement of either coffee flour or green banana flour, because those are great supplements because of the prebiotic and the high nutrient profile that it has. And remember, all of them are gluten-free, so they're all great. They're all great. So that's all I have today. If you have any comments, let me know. Contact me on Facebook and let me know which of the non-flour alternatives or the non-wheat flour alternatives you like. And tell me why. Give me your feedback. I'd appreciate it. If you can, post reviews. That'd be great as well. Until next time, guys, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. We appreciate you listening to this mom-paw operation. And please forward our podcast or articles to other people. We're just trying to grow it to the best we can. Kate and I are high school teachers, and we just do this on the side. And we just love doing it. So if you can, just forward it to other people. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.
Listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com, follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.